Well, a legal battle between the tech giants Oracle and Google continues. Yesterday, the $9 billion copyright case actually wound up with arguments in front of a jury. A jury, remember, selected for its lack of technical knowledge. Well, our tech editor, Peter Marks, has been watching all this closely. Peter, hello there.
Hello, Fran.
So you've had a good look at what's been argued. Who do you think's going to win this case?
Well, that's a good question. Yesterday, Google attorney Robert Van Nest made his closing arguments to the jurors. And as you say, they are not picked for their technical prowess. And they did have problems because they were given source code to read, which they were unable to access. The judge expressed anger at both teams for this delay. He asked them to, Google's attorney asked them to clear Android of copyright infringement allegations as a matter of, quote, fairness and fair use. Van Nest told the jury that Google engineers built Android from scratch using new Google technology, and they did adapt technology from open sources. Now, Oracle has argued, as we discussed last week, that Google's use of 37 Java APIs in Android infringes copyrights that Oracle acquired when it purchased Sun Microsystems back in 2010. While they lost that argument originally, an appeals court found that APIs can indeed be copyright. But in my view, APIs are not the code. They're like the table of contents in a technical book. They're not the actual text. I think if Oracle wins strongly, it will have a chilling effect on the use of open APIs. And ironically, this could be a kick for Java. It may put people off using Java. So who will win? Well, given that the view of the appeals court found in favour of copyright of APIs, my guess is that Oracle may actually win, but I think that perhaps they'll be awarded very small damages. So we'll see. I don't think they'll get anywhere near the $8.8 billion they seek.
Okay, well, that's a large sum of money. Speaking of large sums of money, the NBN came up on this week's Q&A program. The argument about balancing cost and speed goes on. Where does our NBN fit in terms of global download speed trends?
Yes, well, the possible download speed.
It's impenetrable
speed,
for most of us to know what we really need and are getting.
I think actually Christopher Pine put it in pretty simple terms. He said that the speed will be enough to watch 5 movies simultaneously. Mm. Perhaps not something most of us would want to do, but a household may do that. But of course, that's not a very good measure because video can be at a variety of different bit rates. NBN Co. now talks about needing 5 to 10 megabits per second to watch video in, quote, high quality. But every year, of course, our idea of what is high quality goes up. Now, already Netflix is offering Ultra HD video and they recommend at least 25 megabits for good experience there. Incidentally, Netflix has made a website where you can measure your speed. It's at fast.com and it's very interesting because it gives quite a different result to what you get with the broadband speed test, which each ISP, I think, caches locally.
I mean, I've got good speed, pretty good speed, but I was watching Netflix and sometimes it still has to freeze and rebuffer.
Exactly. So do check fast.com because that will give you a real measure back to Netflix servers. Now, Google Fiber, you're talking about global trends. Google Fiber in the US is rolling out 1,000 megabits now. And I mean, this is where things are going. History has shown that demand for speed will continue to rise. This whole thing about doing a low speed, cheaper option is a bit like putting in a very fast train that only goes 100 kilometres per hour.
But if Google Fiber is 1,000 megabits, what do most of us have now in our houses?
Well, the best of us have about 100 megabits, and that's been the target. But it's clear that that's just a stepping stone on the way to even higher speeds.
And if Google Fiber is doing it in the US, does that mean Google will do it here? We don't need the NBN to do it?
I haven't heard anything.
Is that what Malcolm Turnbull is getting at?
I would love them to do it here. They've been very disruptive over there.
Okay. This week, Microsoft launched a new low-price smartphone in Australia. Have you had a look at it? Have you tried?
I have, yes. The Lumia 650, and it's a budget price phone. It's under $300 for a 5-inch OLED display with 1 gigabyte of RAM and 16 gigs of storage. So it's probably, it is a low-end phone. It's not super fast, but it's a nice-looking phone. It's very light. I mean, it does seem, for the price, very good. But, of course, the target market for Microsoft is not the general consumer. This week, Gartner announced that Windows Mobile has sunk to just 1% of global smartphone operating systems in the first quarter of this year. They're down from 2.5%, so they're really in decline. Microsoft last week sold off the last part of Nokia, the phone company they purchased. It cost them around $8 billion, and they've just written off $950 million last week. And this morning we learned that they're laying off 1,850 staff to, quote, streamline the smartphone business. So they're in a catch-22 position. They've got such low market share, developers aren't interested in making apps. I really think the target for this phone is likely to be the corporate market, who have Microsoft Office tools, Office 365 or Exchange, and they want to give their staff a phone that is just for work, it's really not going to play with consumers.
Yeah, I don't think so. Everyone loves their phone and they like it to be pretty schmick, don't they, when they pull it out. Pete, thanks very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Marks is an app developer himself, our regular tech commentator on ABC Radio Breakfast and Radio generally. And every Thursday, he's here with us.